Morning, everyone, and welcome once again to our Sunrise Project call, where we are here in a wonderful and loving safe space filled with compassion and a desire to heal ourselves and our families. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Ooh, taking a deep breath because it's been a busy morning for me already, and I'm going to be working a little bit of behind the scenes magic because I think Dr. D had an incredible graduation yesterday with her son Lawrence, so she's not along with us this morning. So bear with me as I admit people into the room and we do our call. So I am super excited this morning to have a wonderful, wonderful, phenomenal guest with us named Corey Minor Smith. She is the former senior counsel for the Department of Housing and Urban Development as a presidential appointee of the Biden-Harris administration and a recipient of the 2024 Secretary's Mission Support Excellence Award. She also has a certificate of completion from Harvard Business School's 2023 Women of Color Executive Leadership Program. Corey is living up to Rolling Out magazine's description of her as a quote, legendary lawyer, renowned attorney, noted mental health advocate, prominent media fixture, and New York Times celebrated author. New York Times described her as a fascinating woman who moved 21 times and attended 14 different schools before graduating high school. And those of you who've heard her story and will hear bits of it, I'm sure more this morning, it is phenomenal what she has done. And so I believe that too, what New York Times described her as. Corey became a mother her senior year of college, as a mother living with schizophrenia. And eventually went to law school to become the powerhouse woman she is today. In addition to her many accomplishments, one highlight is she served as the general counsel for the same public housing authority that provided housing for her and her family. Her journey of resilience and purpose has made her one of the most compelling voices in mental health advocacy today. She's a trained NAMI facilitator with the national profile and has appeared on The Breakfast Club and in Forbes magazine, and is a proud member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated. We are sorors, and I'm so delighted about that as well. Although we love all of our sisters, she happens to be a member of DST. And she is now the principal attorney of OC Strategies Legal and Consulting Services and the founder of the Wealth Foundation. Welcome back, Corey. It's so good to have you here this morning. How are
Thank
you?
you so much. I am well. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I always love joining the Sunrise family. So I truly appreciate being
Yes.
with you all here today.
You have been here 7 times over the
Have
last 6 years.
I?
Seven
Okay.
times. Yes,
Oh, my
yes. You
goodness.
start, you came in July of 2020, and we were talking about the sandwich generation because you were taking care of your mom and your children and dealing with several mental health challenges while working, going to school, all the things that we all do and try to do. And you were doing it beautifully and have always been doing it beautifully. So, first of all, before we jump into our topic today and this film that is being screened this week called No One Cares About Crazy People, where are you today? What are you up to today? Because I see a different background than the last time you were here.
Yes, well, thank you so much, Kelly, for that gracious introduction. It's again always a pleasure to join you in the Sunrise family. I am literally and physically in Montgomery, Alabama. I felt led to come to the South on one of the roads. You know, the campaign is All Roads Lead to the South. And there was
Yes.
a reenactment of walking across the Edmund Pettus Bridge, which was just a powerful experience. But before even getting there, just having the opportunity to be at the church where the clergy, many members of the clergy, prayed over the event and just our future here in America. And after the prayers and just giving some, praise and upliftment for those who were in attendance and that those who would gather in Montgomery, we had the opportunity to follow the clergy to walk across the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And I must say, my emotion was overwhelming at times, and I felt like each time that I would become overcome by my emotions, I just raised my fist because the power, I was just letting the power flow. But it was a wonderful experience, and I just know and I appreciate everyone in our country's history who fought for us to have the rights that we have
Absolutely.
today.
That's awesome. So was this yesterday? This
Yes.
incredible experience was yesterday.
Yes,
Awesome.
May
Wow.
16th.
It sounds fantastic. We can talk about that another time, but I know that what I love about what you're doing is you are doing something. We all have an opportunity to do something about what's happening in the world right now, and you chose action, which I think is great, and we all need to do that. We all need to do that in our own way, or whatever works for us in that regard. But that sounds like a phenomenal opportunity. So thank you for doing that for
Thank
us.
you.
So I want to talk about this film. So you shared a text with me probably a month and a half ago or so, and I was so intrigued by the title of the film that says "No one cares about crazy people." And you said, "Hey, please share this with your network. There's a screening coming up for people in the DMV. It's in Silver Spring this coming Wednesday." And I want you to talk about the film. I know it's a documentary, but can you share, first of all, the title, "No One Cares About Crazy People," and what is the film about? How did you get involved? And why is it a necessary, opportunity for us to get involved as well?
Sure. First of all, as soon as I saw the graphic for the film posted by someone that I know, another advocate in the severe mental illness space, I was like, I want to be involved in bringing it. And
Yes.
anytime I'm involved, especially when it's dealing with severe mental illness, it's because I want to increase awareness in the Black community. And seeing that there were not too many opportunities for us to see how this impacts our community, I felt like this is an opportunity for us to see how this is, bigger than any individual's family. That was something I
Right.
had to understand at an early age. This was bigger than just me and my mom, even though I didn't even know what was
Right.
going on at the time that my mom first was not able to be mom anymore.
And when was that again? Remind us that
I
you were
was like
very young.
15, 15 years old when I called for help from my cousin who came over. My mom was talking nonstop for anyone who doesn't remember or wasn't on the call when I described my situation before, but I was like 15 years old, and this was after my mom asked me to live with her because at that point in my life I was shuffling between my mom and dad, Vallejo, California, Houston, Texas, or Canton, Ohio. And this particular summer, my mom asked me to stay, and she had not done that before. And I feel like looking back, she knew something was going on with her, and maybe, having me there, if something were to happen, I would be there. And that seems like it happened. If that was what her plan was, I don't know, but it feels like that's what happened. But she was talking nonstop, and as if I wasn't there, even though I'm trying to, mom, get her attention. She was very delusional at that time, and what they would say, ideas of grandiose, like believing that she had powers, miraculous powers, and could heal me if I was sick and things of that nature. And so I called my cousin who came over, and my mom wasn't interacting or engaging with her either. So we took her to the emergency room, and that's when we first heard I first heard the diagnosis of manic depression, paranoid schizophrenia. which today manic depression is now considered bipolar disorder. And my mom, and I don't know the level, the different symptoms that would change from schizophrenia to schizoaffective disorder, but my mom is now considered to have schizoaffective disorder. To me, she's just not
Interesting.
mom anymore, and I'm
Right.
dealing with the hallucinations and delusions. Those are the most powerful symptoms that totally takes over a person's ability to be in reality. What I guess
Right.
the general population would consider reality, because it is their
Reality.
reality. You know what I'm saying? Just to give
Right. I do
some
know what you're saying.
appreciation to that experience. But with that being said, this movie, I feel, helps to
Can I pause you for
introduce.
a hot
Oh,
second?
I'm
I
sorry.
just want to say, because you mentioned something that was so interesting and the distinction. You talked about severe mental illness, and severe mental illness, which I know is different than any mental illness. So and what you just explained with your mother, the severe mental illness is like a subset of any mental illness where it really impairs your ability to deal with major life activities. Or in the case of your mom, you were only 15, she couldn't take care of you. And so it was reversed. You were taking care of her. Whereas any mental illness might be ADHD or,
Depression.
anxiety, depression, but that's can be managed, with therapy and with medication, et cetera. So there is a distinction. And so this film focuses on severe mental illness, correct?
Correct.
Okay,
And it's
thank
based off
you.
of Ron Powers' book, No One Cares About Crazy People. Ron Powers is a New York Times bestselling author, an Emmy Award winner, a Pulitzer Prize winner. And his son, he has two sons. One died by suicide, and the other is still living with schizophrenia. Both sons have schizophrenia.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And his that story is in the book, and now in this documentary. The documentary is by a woman named Gail Friedman, and so she's doing screenings all across the country. And again, I
That's
saw a post
awesome.
by someone else who was interested in bringing it to the DMV area, and I'm like, I want to help bring it to the DMV area. And ultimately, my goal. I had a question back when I was a sophomore in college. What do families do? And for me, a part of that answer came with a movie, a TV movie called Out of Darkness. And Diana Ross portrayed a woman named Polly whose
I
symptoms came
remember
back.
that movie. Yes, I
So
vaguely remember that
1994,
movie.
1994, as the young people say, the early 1900s.
When we were anxious.
So I
Out
saw
of
it
darkness.
Out of Darkness. So I saw it fictionally portrayed in this TV movie, but the similarities, and again, I'm young still, and I don't fully understand the situation that I'm in with my mother, but I knew from the previews on TV that I needed to see this movie. And I didn't have a VCR, so I was making sure I was in my dorm room to watch the movie. What I'm getting at is just seeing something outside of me and my mom and understanding that, again, this is bigger than me and my mother. And so with this documentary, my connection to it is just to under for other families to answer a question, which is, what do families do? Knowing that there
I
are
see.
paths forward, even though it's so difficult and so complicated, there are resources available. And even if the resources aren't in your community, how you can use your voice and be active, as you mentioned, taking action in your community to bring resources, with your elected officials, making sure that there's
That's
funds
right.
for different programs, working with different organizations.
That's right.
Someone asked, can you repeat the names of diagnosis? Manic depression, now bipolar, and schizophrenia, anxiety, affective disorder. It was schizo, S C HIZO hyphen affective affective disorder. Schizoaffective
I'm
disorder.
typing that in here. Yes. And I just to answer, just to say what you just said, I also just want to, disclose, I always do this, that we're not licensed therapists. However, Corey has a lived experience for many, 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 many years. And so I just want to share that out loud, but that's a great question. And someone also sent me a private note about wanting to attend the screening, which is on Wednesday, May 20th at AFI Silver in Silver Spring. And she says, thank you. She says the Treatment Advocacy Center had free tickets available last week. So can you share more about that and how people can get tickets if they want to attend?
So the tickets are available, I believe, online or once you get to the theater. I don't know how many tickets are left with the Treatment Advocacy Center, but the Treatment Advocacy Center is hosting this screening. And I have a strong connection with the Treatment Advocacy Center because they invited me to speak in, I think I was in San Antonio, Texas, at one of their symposiums. And on our initial call, me and the director of this screening and the person who posted on LinkedIn that they wanted to bring it to DMV, her and I had got together, and then we got in touch with the director. And on that call, I was like, Treatment Advocacy Center, let's connect with them, to give us a bigger organization to work with. And so they came on board and were more than willing to like take charge and lead this
That's
dynamic
awesome.
opportunity. So I'm so happy to have the Treatment Advocacy Center taking charge and hosting this documentary again to bring awareness. And the reason why I started like individually sending things out to people I knew is because I want to make sure that Black people are in that audience and that we are there to learn and understand as well. And ultimately, Kelly, sharing this with your an exclusive, but I plan to do a documentary and I want to focus on Black families that are dealing with this, selecting five from across the country to, regionally to show the difference in treatment with their loved ones, the resources that may or may not be available in their communities, and just highlighting their experiences, again, to address stigma, to
Absolutely.
increase awareness, and just showing people how to take action.
And reduce the shame, and the guilt, because so many of us have shame and guilt and we blame ourselves. And I love that you're doing a documentary, and I would be honored to support however I can and our Sunrise community. Because like you said, we are all on this call because we have some sort of lived experience with something. And it may not be with our young people, it might be with ourselves, or it might be with a parent. Or I remember the first time you came on and you talked about the sandwich generation. I remember it like it was yesterday and it was 6 years ago, but it was I'm now doing living that life, and it's an interesting divinely ordered situation. And I remind myself to stay in gratitude every day that I have time, with my mom. And at the
Amen.
same time, dealing with other things with my children and just life for most of us is lifing, And so I love that you're doing a documentary and you have driven, hashtag driven is your book. So I want first, before I ask you about that, I did put a link into the chat to the Eventbrite to get tickets for the film, which is this Wednesday, the 20th. No one cares about crazy people. And I love what Corey just said. She wants to get some Black people of color in that audience. And so the link is right there in the chat if anybody wants to attend this
And I'm
Wednesday.
even promoting, dinner and a movie for anybody who wants to meet with me
That's
before or
awesome.
after. I would love the opportunity to, just talk to people before the movie or after the movie. And
That's awesome. What
Yeah.
time is it? Is
So
it 6:30 or
it's
7?
seven. Yes,
Is
it
it
was
7? And
seven.
there's a panel discussion afterwards, correct?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. So tell us about your book, Driven, and let's go there next. And then I have a whole bunch of questions too, but I want to also open it up to the floor. But tell us about the book, hashtag
Sure.
Driven.
So Hashtag Driven is an independently published book. It's a motivational memoir that's used as a resource for families and friends that have a loved one living with severe mental illness. Kelly, a part of my bio was just sharing about the moving 21 times, and I didn't even know that until I was in my senior year in high school. But the 21 times, that's 21 times before I even got to 10th grade. Okay.
Which is so insane. I'm sorry, it sounds very judgmental and I shouldn't have said that.
No.
It sounds really extraordinary, you
It
know, to
does.
think that before you got to 10th grade, you moved 21 times. That is unfathomable for most people, you know? So why were you moving so much?
Well, I really believe that it's attributable to my mom's symptoms, because
Yes, the
even after,
schizophrenia.
even, just looking back on her life, like during my life as an adult, my mom was moving. She would just move, and then leave all of this stuff. One day I get a call. I'm at work. I get a call from my mom, and she's telling me, she wants to leave her life. I just want to leave my life, and I'm going to go stay in a homeless shelter in Texas. And I'm like, again, I don't know. It became real. Like, she was really on a bus on her way to Texas. So that meant she left everything, all the furniture, the clothes, all the things in her place where she was renting. And so I get in touch with the landlord, and he gave me, like, I had to the end of the day to get the stuff out. And so ultimately he gave us more time. But when I went in there, you could read this in hashtag driven. It was like Michael Jackson Thriller eyes, like when I first went into the place. And again, being a general counsel for a housing authority, we dealt with situations where a person may hoard. I'm not saying my mom was a hoarder, but maybe it was like borderline type of situation. But there was just so much stuff, and we didn't have a long period of time to get those things out. But that's not the only time that I dealt with that, and knowing what to do with this stuff, because it's nice stuff half the time, brand new stuff. Because she like goes to the store every day. And so just donating the things to, the Goodwill, the domestic violence shelter, the YWCA. But I truly appreciate everybody who was hands on deck in such a short period of time to do that.
And then you had a child in
Yes.
college, right? So you're dealing with your mom and all of that came with, and then you had your son, right?
My
You have
senior year.
two.
Yeah. So that's when I joined the sandwich generation,
That's right.
my senior year in college, when I had my son. And again, even though I'm dealing with these different behaviors, I don't know what this is yet. I don't know that this is a lifetime commitment to address what I would only be able to describe as odd or weird behaviors. Especially dealing with the hallucinations, right? I didn't have the language, I didn't have the knowledge, but ultimately, after graduating with my bachelor's, I went into a master's program. And the reason why I selected the master's program is because I wanted to learn more about my mom. So my master's program is my master's is in education, guidance, and counseling. So ultimately, I could become a counselor, a school counselor, or a clinical counselor. I didn't do that. I went on to law school. So I have the practicum hours and whatnot. I would need to do more to actually become licensed. But I say that to say that we study from the DSM-4, which was in at that time. Now they're on the DSM-5. But that is the book. That's the Diagnostic and Statistics Manual. And those are all the recognized disorders here in the United States. And it gave me a greater understanding, But it wasn't until I went through the NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness program
Yes.
for families, that I really truly understood this illness and that it was going to be a lifetime situation of helping my mom through this. But nothing really
That's
can
right.
prepare you for actually going through this.
Right. That's correct. Nothing can prepare you. I think that's so deep and so true. And I want to ask, okay, there's a question. Tracy's saying, how do we purchase Driven? How can we purchase your book? It's called Hashtag Driven.
Yes, thank you so much, Tracy. Yes, it is available on my website, Corey, Corey Empowers, Empowers. And the foreword is by Les Brown. I was just recently reconnected with him. He came on my program. I do a monthly program called Mental Wealth Wednesday, where I bring on different people to talk about different aspects of mental health and wellness. But he wrote the foreword to my book. And that's a whole interesting story of how that came about as well. But you can get hashtag driven on coreyempowers.com. I now, Kelly, also have a driver manual, which is a companion piece to hashtag driven, because hashtag driven is based on five principles: faith, motivation, determination, preparation, and action. And the driver
Love it.
manual takes you through these principles with different activities and prompts to help you to create your own GPS for your life and reach your ETA for whatever goals and aspirations you have in your life.
All the acronyms, I'm loving them all. So all of this you're saying. So first of all, if people go to your website, which is simply your first name, Corey, Corey, empowers, like empowerment, empowers.com. So coreyempowers.com, people can buy your book. They can get this driver's manual for the
Yeah,
book. Like, is it like
driver
a
manual.
downloadable
Yes.
tool, a driver
No, it's
manual?
actually in print form, and it's available as a
Okay.
bundle on my
Got
website as
it.
well.
Okay.
I'm excited about it because
And
it's been on my heart and mind for a long time.
I love that. And they can get that. And then they can also find out about your Mental Wealth Wednesdays. You can sign up for that. Are those free? The Wednesday
Oh
Mental
yes,
Wealth
those are
Wednesday.
free.
Okay.
They air live on Facebook, Zoom, or sorry, Facebook or Zoom, Facebook to YouTube, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And I'm
Can sign
excited
up and
because this next
register.
episode is going to feature a judge in Ohio who started the first mental health court in Ohio. Her name is Judge
Awesome.
Eleanor Stormer. So tune in, and you
Really?
can watch all the past episodes on YouTube. I've had some great guests, and again, this is like different aspects of mental health and wellness for the person, the loved one who's caring for someone with a mental health condition. So it's just
I
important
love that.
information. Yeah, thank you.
And you also absolutely put it all in the chat. And we believe in supporting people who are doing work in this space 100%. That's why when you sent the flyer about the film, I was like, how can we support? Do you want to come on and talk about it? And you said, of course, yes. So I love that. There is a question in here. And someone says, so good to see you, Corey. I'm inspired by your passion and consistent work in the severe mental illness space. A bunch of my texts, but there was a question. Let me go back to it. Give me 1 sec. I saw it a while ago. Can you share a few things about what families can do, especially if your loved one is not receptive but are emotionally unstable? It's like they are aware but can't control. Extreme stress, anxiety driven, hot and cold, and exhausting to deal with. Ooh,
Yes, it is.
that's a great question.
It is very exhausting, and that's why it is so important for the caregivers, the loved ones, to make sure they're taking care of themselves. I often quote Bebe Moore Campbell, who said, with our physicals, we need to get our, we don't tend to take care of ourselves. Mothers in general, women tend to take care of everybody else, but making sure you're taking care of yourself. So, like when you go for your annual checkup, She said to make sure you get a checkup from the neck up, from the neck up, meaning your mind. You're making sure that you are
Yes.
keeping yourself healthy, prioritizing mental and physical health in your own life, because the statistic, I believe, is like 63% of caregivers die before the person that they're providing care for. Now, that statistic is more localized to those who are taking care of people with dementia, and it's like the spouse of the person with dementia. But it's an alarming statistic, and it's important to understand that we have to take care of ourselves. With all of that
That's
being
right.
said, the most important thing that I think that loved ones can do is to learn about the mental health condition of their loved one, even in what was described sounds like, and I don't know if the person who asked the question is dealing with severe mental illness, but anosognosia. Anosognosia is a lack of insight. The person does not know that they're sick. Anosognosia is not a diagnosis, it's a symptom also of severe mental illness. So that person who is not compliant with medication doesn't believe that they need the medication because they don't believe they're sick. It can be a devastating, devastating, devastating experience. And it's what I've dealt with my mother. And so I'll share, maybe hopefully this can answer a part of the question as well. But schizophrenia in particular is described in thirds. One third of those who experience schizophrenia may have one bout of episodes with their symptoms and never have it ever again in life. The second set of individuals may be in and out of mental health institutions on and off of the medication throughout their lives. And I believe that's where my mother is. And the third set are individuals who are untreated and likely unhoused and likely to die at the hands of someone else or themselves. So it's a very complicated dynamic, but the best thing that families and loved ones can do is to learn about the resources that are available, learn about the symptoms that their loved one may experience, and two, building a team, not, this formal situation, but it is kind of formal in your life and in your world, and who can help, right? Like if it's other family members, many times they're ostracized, isolated because of the behaviors, which is my situation. I'm an only child, but my mom is the oldest of six children, and all but one is still living in the area with her. And so informing, educating yourself, building your team, meaning any kind of resources like the most extensive, intensive help a person can have is the ACT team. That's the Assertive Community Treatment Team. And your local behavioral health type of organization is likely to fund that type of resource in your community. So learn about like your mental health board. It's like mental health and substance use board. They receive the federal funds. They receive the state funds to fund other organizations in your community. So whether you have a chapter of NAMI or you have a chapter of some organization that provides like payee services or the ACT team or guardianship, look for those things to help you round out your team to help you and your loved one.
I
Third,
want to just double
and
click real quick on the second thing. The first thing you talked about was educating yourself, and the second thing you talked about was building a team around this assertive community team and ACT. And those are, I do believe those are lifelines, because those are people that can really assist in every location, just about, every city across the country with resources, right? That's really critical. And within that, NAMI, which I know you're very involved with. NAMI has chapters all over the country, and they have incredible workshops for all different types of issues that are free. And then eventually, if you choose, you can become a facilitator like yourself. You can facilitate certain types of conversations. And NAMI's run by, there's a black man who's a CEO, and it's a phenomenal organization. So I just wanted to double click on that. The National Association for Mental Illness is phenomenal. So those were the two things, educating yourself, building a team, and then you were about to talk about the third.
Taking care of yourself. So maybe,
Yes.
making sure that's on the list. But I have there's so much I would love to share, and but I want to hone in on one part of that question, which is, the non-compliance, the unwillingness of the loved one to
Yes.
engage in these services. So you can have services all day long, like all the things, right? And I just invite people to check out my posts. Because I had a post not too long ago where I was basically crying, but there was still a call of action in that post, which was to keep calling. So you can have the guardian, you can have the ACT team, you can
Yes.
all of the resources. But if your loved one is not willing to engage, it's not much that most anyone can do. It's not until there's an encounter with law enforcement, or your loved one does something that 988 has to be called it. They're in a mental health crisis or a substance use crisis,
Yes.
and you can get some type of intervention. And even if your police department, like mine is in my hometown of Canton, Ohio, the entire police department is crisis intervention trained. So again, having all the
That's
resources,
great.
but if your loved one doesn't want to engage, there's limited opportunities for you to help them. But what I'm sharing that because you don't give up. You still keep calling for the help. You
That's right.
still keep doing what you can to help your loved one to ultimately get to an emergency room and where
Yes.
hopefully they'll be able to receive treatment. And even if
Yes.
they don't, they're released, what they call a treat street repeat. You still make sure that you are staying engaged with these organizations, letting them know that you are there for your loved one, because it's so easy for them to fall through the cracks, so easy for the people to say, well, no one cares about crazy people. We'll hold on to that title for later, but you have to make sure people know that you are there and wanting and willing to be there for your loved one, as difficult and
That's right.
complicated as it can be. And I am still in the trenches with my mother right now. She just was released from the hospital, and now we're in a different phase. I'm older, she's older, and she is now going to live in assisted living. And I'm very, very
Okay.
grateful for God, to God for this, because assisted living in nursing homes, they don't accept people with schizophrenia.
That's right.
And
That's why the
I,
last time we talked, she was
yeah.
about, she was in for, she was being, there was something happening with her home, and you were trying to help her keep it, but it was a whole disastrous mess.
That's a part of what I post too, because I want people to see the reality of this. I'm not like posting to show all the good life. I'm trying to show
Exactly.
being a caregiver of someone with severe mental illness looks like you having to replace the windows three and four times
I
because they
remember
busted
that.
them out. The sinks are clogged because of whatever, just all the things, damage to the home, damage to
That's
the
right.
home. So
That's right.
if you are
And
trying
she's,
to, oh, sorry, go ahead.
no, you finish, please. I cut you
Okay.
off.
So if you're trying to, continue to be there for your loved one, you have to find ways to take care of yourself. You have to find ways to know that it's okay for you to pause. If you are feeling the heaviness in your chest, that isn't happening for no reason. That's your signal to pause. It
That's
was
right.
several years ago, Iyanla Van Zandt, she was on tour for one of her books, and one of the things that she talked about was like tapping. Kelly, that came to me. This is just all recent to me, so I'm really sharing with you all raw and authentic. But I was in the car, and oh my gosh, I was just feeling the pressure, right? And something says, just start
Yeah.
I the heaviness that I felt in my chest at that time, because again, I'm the only child in a lot of my family. My mom's closest friends from high schools, they're ostracized, they're separated. They want to love her, they want to be there for her, but she has talked to them so horribly or accused them of such horrific things. And it's not like she doesn't do it to me, but I'm not going nowhere. Like who else is going to do it? Who else is going to do it? And I'm not going to leave her by herself. So that was a long-winded answer, but three things, and I hope that that helped whoever
Very
asked that
helpful.
question.
It was very helpful. It was educating, building a team, and taking care of yourself and continuing to try. And at some point, when do you just say let go and let God? Have you been to
Ooh,
that point or at
that's
that
hard.
point?
That's hard. That's hard. I pray. It seemed like I have my little, prayers and communications with God all through the day. But dealing with this situation, like right now in real time, this little piece is actually peace for me. And why I'm here in Alabama, because my mom, all of this just happened, right? And people have told me, you gotta let go. You gotta let go. So I'm working on that. And now that she's in the assisted living, I'm hoping that she'll be able to stay. 'Cause that don't mean that the behaviors went away, right? It doesn't mean the behaviors went away. And she's still not fully acclimated there, because when she got there, and I don't even think it's been a full month yet, but as soon as she got there, she was acting out and they had to send her out. She was threatening to kill everybody. And mind you, my mom is one of the younger people there. So the older, she's in memory care, praise God. She's in memory care section. So that's the lockdown part of the assisted living. You can't freely leave. And so that means she's in with people who have dementia or Alzheimer's. And but she was threatening to kill people, kill herself. And like the nursing staff, they don't know her. They don't know her symptoms and behaviors. And while my mom looks very frail, her gait is off, all of that, those things, they don't know this woman. And when if the other residents are in fear, they had to send her out ultimately
That's
to
right.
the local hospital to check her meds and things of that nature. And that happened twice in a row. So then I'm
Within a
scared.
month.
That was in the first 2 weeks her being there. Look, I'm laughing, but that's many times just to keep from crying. It's like my defense mechanism. So I'm
Understand.
not minimizing this at all. But this was within the first two. I don't even think we were in week two. No, we had to get going to week two because they kept her in the hospital for like almost a week. So let's just say the first 2 weeks of her going to this assisted living facility, this happened. And so here's my concern and worry. They may not take her back. They may not take her back. And what am I going to do if they don't take her back? Because she can't go back home. I thank God again. Was able to buy a home. And here's another resource for you on the all of you on the call. Because many may be dealing with their children who may not be able to live on their own. But there is a program that's backed by Fannie Mae, and you could check your local banking institution for the Family Opportunity Mortgage. The Family Opportunity Mortgage is a special mortgage program that allows for you to get a mortgage in your name, but you don't have to live in the property for your aging parent or an adult child who is not able to get a mortgage in their own name. And so it has a lower interest rate and it doesn't have a residency requirement. And with that program, I was able to get a home for my mother, and I knew getting this home that it was very likely going to be damaged, which is ultimately what happened. However,
I remember
she
that.
couldn't go back to the home either, is what I'm getting at. And so that's where the worry came in, and I had to let go and let God, knowing that this was
That's
going to
right.
work out this time. It's going to work out.
It's gonna work out. They're gonna let her back in. And someone said, thank you, what a great resource. And another person said, transition to and from the hospital to quote home can be a challenging time. And I wanted to say, you made a comment, treat, street, and repeat. That was so powerful. Because I think about like whether it's your mother or whether it might be some of our children that have been in treatment programs. They get treated, they do the program, they complete all the weeks or months or what have you, then they come back to the same environment mostly, and then the repetitive behavior starts. You know, it goes right back. I think, I don't know the data, so I won't quote any data, but I know in my case that's what was happening, you know, back with one of my children. And it sounds exactly like what you're saying with your mom, you know, treat,
What I've
street,
been dealing
repeat.
with is what I've been dealing with. I feel like this is so interesting, and it seems so powerful to me, you know, if this wasn't my own life. But walking across, I feel like I grew up different phases of my life, crossing the thresholds of different psychiatric facilities. And most recently now, I mean, for me being a teenager, not being able to drive because I didn't have a driver's license, and my grandmother was taking me to the state hospital where my mom was, or once I became a college student and I'm driving myself and I'm crossing those thresholds, and then I became a mother and I'm pushing my son's stroller across the threshold. And then most recently, my son, who is now 30, my son is 30.
That's a blessing that he's 30.
And he crossed thresholds with me to see my mom now, who's 69, who was at the psychiatric facility before, you know, going to the assisted living. And I'm like, this has been a part of our lives all this
Yes.
time.
Yes, since he was born, right?
So I'm just encouraging the families that are on this call. I know it's difficult. And your children may be, you know, minors right now, but they're going to be 18 and they're going to be adults, and you may not be able to do all the things because they are adults and they have their own rights. So learn now about the things that you could do, guardianships, POAs, power of attorneys, different things that you could do now, have lined up, you know, for once they are 18. Because what I'm living now is what could, I'm not saying it is, but it could be a part of your life once your child is 18, because they have rights and you no longer are able to just take them to the doctor or
That's
get the
right.
medical information because of HIPAA and all of those things. So ultimately, I know we're running short on time, Kelly, but I just
You're
want to
good.
tell you all that on my website also I have my go-to mental health guide, and it's full of resources, national, international resources, podcasts, Instagram accounts, just different organizations that you may not know about, books and movies, just to give you a broader understanding of how this stuff happens, you know, and what people do. Answering that one question, what does the family do? That's my goal through all of the information that I provide for people, just trying to answer that one question, what do families
What do we
do?
do? What do we do? And the resources are invaluable. And your story, as someone just said, is powerful because you've been living with this journey. You've been walking this journey with faith and with so many with challenges for over 30 years, you know, since you were 15 years old. I don't know your age, I'm guessing over 30 years approximately.
It's been,
And
I think close
so,
to 40 at this point. Oh, Lord.
okay, yeah. But it's so deep that you have what you have transitioned from all the trauma, because we didn't even get into all of what you've shared previously. So much trauma to so and tests and trials to such a beautiful testimony, and it's still a work in progress. Like you're still standing, you're down there being an advocate in Alabama. And I remember you sent me a t-shirt that had advocate, the definition of advocate on it, which thank you again for that. That was a few years ago, but I wear that all the time and love it. So you are, someone says your courage and wisdom are very much appreciated. And you always have such a wealth of information every time you're here. And you have such a grace, such grace. And I just really appreciate you. Someone said, thank you. Nikki said, thank you for sharing so vulnerably. This was deep and hit me in the soul today. I agree. I agree. Always. I know we have just a couple more minutes. If anybody has a question or a comment, a phenomenal woman. Yes, indeed. A
Thank you.
question or a comment for Corey before we wrap up.
Yeah.
I want to, good morning.
Good morning. I just want to say that, Corey, all that you do is definitely not in vain because I have listened to every single thing that you came about your book. I've been following it, and I'm just saying out there for the listeners that it has been incredible as a person with the sandwich generation as well. The resources
Yes.
done, even with the 988 calls and how to follow up and
Yes.
the documents and everything that you were telling us that we should get when they were younger to help with the transition. It's all been extremely empowering and helpful. And I just wanted to thank you and appreciate your honesty and your authenticity when you come and share and just to continue to be encouraged. And I lift you up in prayer.
Thank you so much. I truly appreciate it. I
You.
think I also saw a question about the program for the mortgage is called the Family Opportunity Mortgage.
Yes. It's in the chat too, but a lot of people are calling in, maybe laying in bed or might be on the way to church or standing in line at church. I know some people are doing that, so they're not able to see the chat necessarily. So yes, the Family Opportunity Mortgage. And as Jules just said, and Jules has been here for many years also, please go to CoreyEmpowers.com for all of these resources and the link to all of these tools. Her book, the down not downloadable, but the companion
Driver
tool and all these
manual.
driver manual, thank you, and all these amazing resources. So thank you. You're such an amazing, awesome, what did Dr. Vicky say? Phenomenal woman. I
Thank you.
concur. I love you so much, and I'm really appreciative of you always being here and showing up for us. So I will continue to pray for you and your journey with your mom and with your children. And I'm going to now turn it over to Dr. Vicky, who will close us out this beautiful Sunday morning. Thank you, Corey.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Corey. And that wasn't me, although I agree with what Vicky said. That's another VIKKI on here,
Oh,
which
okay.
is
Well, all
very
right.
rare.
Okay.
Very rarely do I see VIKKI, so shout out to the other VIKKI on the line this morning. Corey, thank you. This was phenomenal today. And we just bless you. God, thank you for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for Kelly and Dee for holding the vision of the Sunrise Project. Thank you for Corey and her courage, the clarity that you've given to her. Thank you for making her a chain breaker in her family and for who she is to the rest of the world as an advocate and a light. Thank you for this call, this community. Thank you that every week you've given us a container of grace and wisdom and guidance, a space to breathe, a space to exhale, a space to know that we're not alone in our individual situations, that we heal in community. We're strengthened and empowered in community. Bless every family on this call. Bless our children. Bless our parents. Continue to give us strength and grace and wisdom. Thank you for favor in the marketplace for relationships. Continue to, God, order our steps and make us a light in the world. We thank you for all that is poured into us every week, especially today, and bring us back together again. God, give us courage, collective courage to show up and make a difference however we can, especially in light of what's happening in this country. God, thank you that each of us are called to do the best we can, to be the best we can in our respective spaces and places. Now bless us as we go forward into the rest of this day and bring us back together again on next Sunday. Keep us until next Sunday. Continue to protect our children. And we just give you glory for the privilege to be in community, this community, the Sunrise Project. We just honor you today. And we're so grateful. In your name, we do pray and give thanks. Amen. See you next Sunday, everyone.
Amen. Yes, indeed. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.